All seemed chaos. Marching, drilling in the manual of arms, listening to lectures on military courtesy. In saluting, the right hand will strike the head at a 45-degree angle midway of the right eye. Listening to lectures on Marine jargon. From now on, everything, floor, street, ground, everything, is the deck. Cleaning and polishing one's rifle until it shone like an ornament. Shaving daily, whether hairy or beardless. It was all a jumble. What are we going to do? Salute the Japs to death? No, we're going to blind them with spit and polish. Yeah, or barber the bastards. All the logic seemed to be on our side. The Marine Corps seemed a madness. They had quartered us on the second floor of a wooden barracks, and they kept us there. Save for a week or so on the rifle range and Sunday masses, I never stirred from that barracks but at the beck of Sergeant Bellow. We had no privileges. We were half-baked, no longer civilians, just becoming Marines. We were like St. Augustine's definition of time. Out of the future that is not yet, into the present that is just becoming. Back to the past that no longer is. And always the marching. March to the mess hall. March to the sick bay. March to draw rifles slimy with cosmoline. March to the water racks to scrub them clean. March to the marching ground. Feet slapping cement. Treading the packed earth. Grinding to a halt with rifle butts clashing. To the rear, march! Forward, march! Left oblique, march! Platoon, halt! Clash, clash! Right shoulder, arms! Slap, slap! My finger! My red and white finger! God damn it, men! Strike your pieces, hear me? Strike your pieces, you hear? I want noise. I want blood. Noise, blood. Present arms. My finger. Forward, march. Now again. March, march, march. It was a madness. But it was discipline. Apart from us recruits, no one in Paris Island seemed to care for anything but discipline. There was absolutely no talk of the war. We heard no fiery lectures about killing Japs, such as we were to hear later on in New River. Everything but discipline, Marine Corps discipline, was steadfastly mocked and ridiculed, be it holiness or high finance. These drill instructors were dedicated martinets. Like the sensualist who feels that if a thing cannot be eaten, drunk, or taken to bed, it does not exist, so were these martinets in their outlook. All was discipline. It is not an attitude to be carried over into pursuit civilian, but it cannot be beaten for straightening civilian backs. Sergeant Bellow was as strict as most. He would discipline us in the ordinary way, command a man to clean out the head with a toothbrush, or sleep with one's rifle because it had been dropped, or worse, called a gun. But above all, he insisted on precision in marching. Once he grabbed me by the ear when I had fallen out of step. I am short, but no lightweight. Yet he all but lifted me off my feet. "Lucky," he said with a grim smile, seeming to delight in mispronouncing my name. "Lucky, if you don't stay in step, there'll be two of us in the hospital, so they can get my foot out of your ass." Bellow boasted that though he might drill his men into exhaustion beneath that semi-tropical South Carolina sun, he would never march them in the rain. Magnificent concession. Yet there were other instructors who not only drilled their charges in the downpour, but seemed to delight in whatever discomfiture they could inflict upon them. One especially would march his platoon toward the ocean. His chanted cadence never faltered. If they hesitated, breaking ranks at water's edge, he would fly into a rage. "Who do you think you are? You're nothing but a bunch of damn boots. Who told you to halt? I give the orders here, and nobody halts until I tell them to." But if the platoon would march on resolutely into the water, he would permit his cadence to subside unnoticed until they had gone knee-deep, or at least to the point where the salt water could not reach their precious rifles. Then he would grin and simulate anger. "Come back here, you mother's mistakes! Get your stupid behinds out of that ocean!"